Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously like what this would be if this was a current thing. It would just be one book.
Yeah.
You know, all of the stuff contained in this module would just be in the book.
It's just so nice because it's like it's little and it fits right on your bookshelf.
Right. That's how they were designed. They were designed to go with your books.
Yeah, and it's nice and thin and it works. They should keep doing stuff like this.
They should.
And it would actually prevent, I think, a lot of
PDF theft.
PDF theft. You know, I guess. And it makes it more like, I want that, you know. I know it's probably a little bit more expensive to produce than just like a straight up book, but
I don't know about that. Printing is pretty cheap from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, as opposed to just one book, like it probably costs like 0.00001 cent.
Right.
And that box probably costs like 0.001 cent.
Right.
So it's like it does cut into your profits a little bit, but you know, what are you going to do about it? Hey everyone, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host Joe, and with me as always is the Joram.
Game Classy.
With me as always is the Joram Mormont to my Daenerys Stormborn, Steve.
Is that the old guy? The bear?
Yes.
I am a bear.
You are a bear, as anyone who just watched the video can tell. Oh, Game of Thrones. Two crappy episodes, but tonight's supposed to be pretty good. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I haven't been watching it. I'm just going to shotgun the whole season when it comes out.
Oh, you fool.
I don't really care.
Oh, you fool.
I don't
really
care.
It's much-watch TV. Must-watch TV.
I am defying that construct by not watching it. I will later.
I know.
I'll hammer through it in one season.
I like it when you watch it, though, because then we could commiserate over it.
I don't know.
You get the nerdy part of it. Like, you get, like, the D&D aspect that I like about it.
The first episode, I was kind of like, I don't know.
No, the first episode of the season was pretty bad.
I was just kind of like, eh. It reminded me that like all of the characters I cared about are dead, and or like Tyrion is a great example. I think Tyrion was an awesome character, but they removed any sort of agency he had, so he became boring. Like
a little bit.
He no longer has any abilities or meaningful way to interact with the game world, as it were. So he's like a player who's on hiatus.
A little bit.
And like if the player characters who are still playing the game every week want to know what he's doing, I have to go like shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. He's over here. He's in Al-Kadim.
He's in Al-Kadim.
He's talking to this other NPC. He became an NPC. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Tyrion's player quit but didn't want his character to die, so he became an NPC and he's no longer part of the game.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he got a little nerfed.
And then all of the other characters that I was following are dead.
Well, who? Like who?
So, well,
spoilers.
Well,
but if you like Game of Thrones, you should have watched it by now. I'm just throwing that out there.
It doesn't matter. I don't want to feel like throwing a bunch of spoilers, but it just doesn't, like, think of anybody, like a bunch, like they're all dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this
because I don't care about Arya. I don't care about Sansa. Like the character, and maybe it's not necessarily that all of the characters, only the characters I cared about are dead, but the characters that remain are characters I don't care about. Like the Onion Knight's pretty cool, but he's like. Like he's like a cool NPC again. Like,
yeah,
there's like the player characters remaining are like, it's like you're running your D&D session and you've been doing it for years, and like the people you started the game with are gone. Like they've had kids or they've moved away, and like you're just left with like the add-on people who heard about your great game. So you're running this game and you're sitting there and you're looking across your table and there's three people sitting there who you don't really like. And you're kind of continuing the game via obligation. You're like, fine. You're like, I, you know, because you want to keep.
Yeah, you want to keep it going.
Yeah, you want to keep playing, and finding a new group is a pain in the ass. So, you know, having these three, I get like you settle for the three guys you're with.
I don't necessarily know if I'd go that far with Game of Thrones, but the first episode was really weak, and the last two episodes were really weak. But all the episodes in between, very good.
Which is why I want to approach it as I approach The Walking Dead, which is. I don't watch an episode here and there. I watch a season.
Yeah, that's what I do with
The
Walking Dead.
I just smash through the season because, like, the last season I watched on Netflix, there were a ton of episodes that were garbage, like total garbage. But there were some good episodes in there.
Yeah.
And, like, overall as a season, it was easier to grade and be like, oh, that wasn't dog shit. But, like, I remember when I was last watching it on TV when it was airing, I can't remember which season it was, but I just stopped. I was like, this show is fucking terrible now, and I stopped watching it.
I think it was third season, because I remember you going on a rant about Andrea.
Yeah, like, and then people suddenly started talking, like, wow, it's so good. Like, this season's so good. And I'm just like, the fuck are you talking about? The show's terrible. And then, like oh, okay, like, the episodes that are good are really good.
Yeah.
And the episodes that are bad are really bad. So, season shotgunning is the way to watch it, and I feel that way. I feel like Game of Thrones has become that.
A little bit. You know,
it's still one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah, hands down.
Like, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if that speaks to the quality of Game of Thrones or the sub quality of TV.
I don't know. TV's dipping.
Pick your poison.
TV has been dipping down a little bit. The only show that I really like, I watch Game of Thrones and I watch The Flash. Those are the two shows that I have to watch week to week. I don't give anyone else a choice. Like, I have to watch it.
I liked The Flash when the 80s version.
I think you would like the new one. I really do.
That was I went as the Flash for Halloween that year,
1988.
Yeah, my mom made me a costume. It was awesome.
Yes, and then the show was canceled.
I mean, I did.
But Mark Hamill comes back.
You know
back.
What? One of the cool things about being a kid is you don't care when that happens.
Oh yeah,
because you're just like, oh, no more Flash. Okay, what's the new thing?
Well, what's fun is that in the new show, Mark Hamill does come back as the
trickster.
As the trickster.
Nice.
And it's the same character. Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. In the Flash CW, it's what Flash is it?
It's still Barry Allen.
Oh, okay. Because it was Barry Allen in the
It's Barry Allen. It's not like it's a continuation of the 80s series, but there's so many nods.
Well,
to these,
you know, I'm thinking like, oh, maybe it's Wally West, because like then they could have not written the 80s series out.
Yeah. No, the guy who plays the Flash in the 80s series, John Wesley Shipp, he's actually Barry Allen's dad in the CW show.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay.
Those guys that Mark Berlanti.
So they cared about the original Flash.
Oh yeah. That's cool. The nice thing is like Berlanti, who's like the producer, he really cares about all of these, all of like the influences that would come into the show.
That's cool.
So like people, characters, stuff from the comic books, it's all really, really, it's like a lot of fan service, but it's done in that like really good fan service way.
Gorilla Grodd is in the new Injustice.
Yes. And Gorilla Grodd is on the Flash TV show.
That's pretty cool.
They have a gorilla, and they have King Shark too. They have a giant shark.
I really
man.
Like Gorilla Grodd. What do you like? Gorilla Grodd. You know what? Gorilla Grodd I like because he is a, he's an out of time villainous concept.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he's so dated.
Yeah, he's a Silver Age villain. Yeah,
yeah. He's so much a Silver Age villain, but they managed to just like drag him along. Like he did not get left in the past.
Well, he's my second favorite talking gorilla in the DC universe next to Monsieur Mala, who is the French gorilla.
What about Detective Chimp?
But he's not a gorilla. He's my second favorite talking gorilla.
That's true.
And Detective Chimp didn't become cool until like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. When they brought him back for Infinite Crisis.
I read one where he was with Batman and they were solving a crime, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean,
I was like, this Batman solving a crime with a monkey?
Once he became like a hard-drinking detective monkey,
film noir protagonist?
Yes. Once he became that, it was great. Speaking of film noir, I know we'll get into game stuff in a little bit. I finally watched Zootopia. Finally.
Again?
Like, yeah. But I mean, like, I got to rewatch it, and I realized...
I was like, you saw it in theaters.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, guess what? This is real film noir crap.
Yeah,
going
it is.
On. Yeah,
it's a noir detective story. Yeah. Like it's really good. Like I was telling you, it's a good movie.
Yeah. However, still think it's a little furry for my taste.
Because it made you feel funny in your pants. The bunny, hips. Is it the hips on the bunny? It's the hips on the bunny.
It's
you can admit it.
No,
you can admit it.
No.
Even the Honest Trailers guy points it out. You can admit it.
He did. And I don't even like Honest Trailers. I think they were a little.
They're swingy.
Yeah, sometimes they're a little too, like, if you could tell if he likes a movie, then he treats it very...
But I kind of like that. Yeah. I like when I see people's personal biases.
Yeah, but no, it's a little too furry for me. Little too.
Or not furry enough.
There's not enough nudity. And the other thing, there was no buttholes on any of the animals.
They had no genitals.
They had no genitals.
You are correct.
That's awful.
I mean, and everyone knows my stance on genitals. Like, they should be there loud and proud.
Yeah. I mean, they literally go to a nudist camp, and there are no genitals, no buttholes,
nothing. Hashtag spoiler, no butthole.
No butthole. Hashtag no butthole. It's a little disappointing. Not that I wanted to see it, but I'm
you wanted to see it.
But I'm like, come on, like, let's be honest.
You don't need to lie.
Why
you're among friends.
Why does Disney pretend like animals don't have genitals?
I think it's because they wanted to keep their film at a certain rating.
Well,
and
I understand that.
The ratings board probably wouldn't let them keep that G or PG. I don't know if it was.
Yeah, I think it was PG. I might have been.
There were some, I guess, like scary scenes. They wouldn't let them keep that if there were giant elephant pussies and huge horse cocks flopping around.
I mean, that's, I think that that needed to be in that movie.
For someone who's advocating that it's too furry, you're going into a territory.
No. This has nothing to do with the furry thing.
Now
this
here
is
comes
just,
the backtrack.
This is just straight up biology. Like, why do people have to pretend like this stuff doesn't exist? You know what doesn't exist? Furries in real life. They don't exist. But you
Not
know what
yet.
Exists? Genitals.
Chimeras are coming.
They're coming.
There's an episode of Batman Beyond that's that where people are they are.
Oh, I remember that.
It's a good episode. They eject like the thing that gives him like one animal trait and makes him look cool, and then he fights the dude who like injects himself like seven of them at the end, and he's like a gross monster.
If you added one animal trait, what would it be?
Tortoise lifespan.
Tortoise lifespan.
Yeah,
it's not bad. I you'd be really slow though.
No, I said lifespan. It's one trait. It doesn't give you more than that. It's exactly one thing.
I don't know, but there has to be some sort of like negative.
I mean, I'm already really slow.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I don't think it would
you'd
be.
You'd be like the sloth in Zootopia. Yeah. It's like, hi, Joe. And you'd be like rolling, like leading a D&D game. You'd be like, roll for initiative.
Be like, I got a 17. 17. Well done.
Let me check the stats.
go grab, like, very
slowly
grab the book.
You, like, lick the page. Each page has to go.
That's good stuff.
And you're like, oh, this is the wrong edition.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's what I would go with. I mean, besides the obvious horse cock.
Yeah, well, I mean, like,
but I mean, to be fair, that would be useless. Like, if I had a horse cock, like, I guess I could fuck horses. Like,
yeah, I know there's a lot of bronies who would probably enjoy that. No, I would probably like.
They want to fuck cartoon horses, Joe.
That's true. I would like a good lemur tail. Like some an ambidextrous tail that I could use for.
You know what? An octopus tentacle in addition to my human limbs.
But
it's got to be in addition. Let's see. It's got to be in addition to.
Yeah.
Because like an octopus tentacle is super dexterous.
Yeah.
And it could really like. Imagine being able to
I
like,
would just
hold
throw you against the wall and watch you stick and like slowly go down.
Just one eight. But I mean, like, so like, let's just say for Minnie's painting purposes, you can have like, you can hold it perfectly by the base and have like. You could have two brushes and be doing like blending.
That's true.
On
I mean,
the model.
If you had like eight, if you had the eight octopus tentacles along with your two arms, that would be very useful for painting.
Yeah, you'd be able to do a lot, and because you know, think of like the blending and stuff you could do with two brushes, like just simultaneously. And it wouldn't because you could kind of do that now, but you have to set up like a rig with like one of those clamps, and that's a lot of work.
The clamps.
Well, that's a lot of work. This way, you could just be like, you could just machine gun it through, like, and you never need to stop moving your hands while your tentacles are grabbing models and. Putting them up in front of you,
yeah.
You know, you would be a sweatshop by yourself.
Yeah. I'm already a sweatshop. This is too goddamn hot out. All right, let's get.
Enjoy the AC.
Yes, it is nice.
I went on a movie marathon last night.
Oh, what'd you do? What'd you see?
I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Followed by
haven't seen it yet.
The Boy. Followed by
what's The Boy?
It's the creepy doll horror movie.
Oh,
with Maggie from
Lauren
Walking
Cohen.
Dead.
Yeah.
And then followed by Krampus.
Ooh, I like the Krampus.
Krampus. And then...
ding dong, ding dong,
I've got
Krampus.
I've got a couple to watch today. I think Krampus couldn't figure out what movie it wanted to be.
No.
It had a serious identity problem.
It did. And I think part of the problem with that is it wasn't... I think the rating didn't let it be violent enough. It should have been much...
It was R.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it should have been much more violent.
I couldn't figure out why it was R.
Yeah.
No, I really, like, legitimately could not figure out why it was R other than the fact that they were, like, being attacked by, like, kind of conceptually scary things. But there was no swearing that I can recall, and there was no actual violence.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, someone says, like the synopsis is, like, it's like a gory romp through, and I'm like, there is no blood. There's not a spot of blood in that entire movie.
It's not, I don't know. I liked it because I liked the visuals and I liked what they did with the puppets and I liked a lot of like the effects. But I do think it needed to be much more violent.
Yeah, and the Krampus was weird looking.
Yeah,
like
it was great.
Yeah, so like there was it definitely had some positive stuff. I would say like the best review I could give it is like it's a very like hard 5 out of 10. It's like all of the things that are good about it like don't push it past that like.
I can see it, yeah.
You know, that point. The Boy was pretty good, actually, surprisingly good. I was impressed by it. I'm used the horror genre is pretty played at this point. So,
dude, have you seen Conjuring 2 yet?
No, we're going to.
Holy crap, that movie was amazing.
Yeah, because the first one's really good.
Oh, the first one's the best horror movie I've seen in 10 years.
So we're probably gonna go see that actually after this podcast.
Yeah. See, hands down, the first Conjuring was the best horror movie in the last 10 years. The Conjuring 2, as good. Nice. I would say it's not necessarily better, and it's not necessarily worse, but it is, like, they are equal in, like, every aspect of it. Nice. The only thing that makes it kind of lesser is the fact that you are already used to, like, the concept of what they're promoting. Like, like you already know the Warrens and everything.
Sure.
So it's like, yeah, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But it is fucking terrifying.
Cool. I'm really excited. We'll go see it. We're going to go see it after the cast.
Yeah.
And then so The Boy was pretty good. And I like watching, I think watching movies is like actually the best inspiration you can have for gaming, like D&D gaming or even miniatures gaming, like whatever it is. Like, I think watching movies gives you a huge, like, can, well, for me,
it generally gives you a good mind boner.
Yeah. The creative juices just start get flowing and you're like, yeah, that'd be really cool. You know, or, you know, like the Boy is a great concept of like, you could straight up run The Boy as a Lovecraftian,
one-off.
Yeah. Like with your group, like you could do it. It's very, I found it to be love. Like towards the end of it, I was like, this is pretty Lovecraftian and it's cool. And, yeah, that was good. And then, Krampus, of course. And then the, Ten Cloverfield. I was not a fan, but people seem to like it in general. So
I've heard it's a very well done movie, but a lot of people, it's a very love or hate movie.
Yeah, I didn't. I guess I'm kind of in the middle toward. Like, John Goodman is fantastic.
Yeah, no one has a problem with the acting in it.
Yeah.
It's the story that people are having issues
yeah,
with.
Yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know. I was not a fan. I wouldn't recommend it, but I would also recommend it.
Yeah.
you should watch it, but don't get excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, trust me, I've watched so many terrible horror movies over the last, I don't know, year that it's, when I saw Conjuring 2, I was like, oh my god, I needed to see this movie so badly because it made me feel.
That's
like,
good, because I mean, they were doing a sequel, I'm like, it's probably gonna be sequelitis.
Well, I mean, the second one, the Annabelle movie, was terrible.
Well, that was a spinoff though.
Yeah,
we can't count that.
Yeah, but this as a sequel, I will watch like four or five movies with the Warrens as long as it's A, the same two, as long as the same cast, mm-hmm. and B, the same director writer, James Wan. All right. James Wan was like, the directing in that movie was so on point. It was perfect.
I'm excited. Yeah, and then maybe we'll sneak in and see Warcraft as well. After
I want to see Warcraft. Yeah. I think I might go see that when I go on break next week finally. So I might go see Warcraft during the day. Just be like, I'm speaking of which, Steve, I started something up again.
Oh my god, are you playing World of Warcraft?
Steve, I'm a bad man. I did start up World of Warcraft again.
Ooh. what you say? You only meant well because you said you didn't. That's rough.
I've been doing the
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because the movie has me interested in it again. I played forever back in the day, and it was just like, I'm going to go see what it's like again. I have to say that either I had no idea what I was doing when I was playing the game.
It is not the same game. It's not even close to the same game.
Yeah. When I started that game 10, 12 years ago, I remember having a hard time leveling. Now,
It gives you the levels like candy.
Like candy.
Yeah.
Because you get the first 20 levels free. And that's, so I'm not paying for it. I'm just, you know, playing. I'm going to play like the newer races and stuff like that. So I'm playing a Worgen character right now.
Ooh, Alliance. And you're playing Alliance.
I already played my Horde character. I did a troll. But because I never played a troll last time. So I already did my Horde. I'm doing Alliance. I'm going to go back to Horde after I finish up leveling this Alliance character. Mm. But the Worgen, because since that's a new race, insanely easy. And it's like it feels more like a video game than an MMO.
Yeah.
Because it's like all the quests kind of like, well, do this and then do this and then do this. And back in like playing the troll, you were like, well, what do I do now? Well, I guess I'll go to this place and, you know, see if I can get some quests there.
So a lot of what Blizzard did as their quote unquote game design is they took very popular mods and would build that into the game. So like quest tracker mods were a huge thing, like, because mm-hmm. you put them in, that would show you where to go, and so you could follow them because the world's so massive. Instead of having to like manually figure it out, it would just put an arrow on your screen.
Yeah.
So they built that into the game.
That's something I noticed. Yeah.
Aggro trackers, like people being able to track like if an enemy's gonna kill you or not, like built that into the game, and like so. And there's still great mods, and like that game is all about the mods, but like.
I was going to say, like, what I have to figure out is I have to figure out if there's some graphics mods for it, because that game looks exactly the same as it did in 2005.
If you put it on Ultramax settings, it shouldn't.
Yeah, I wonder if they have that for the level 20 free game or not. I wonder if you have to buy the full
edition.
That
I actually don't know,
yeah.
But I do know that, like, so because the game is super old,
yeah.
But the older zones
yeah.
still pretty much look the same. They'll be, like, they'll be like a little better rendered, but like they're still the same because they didn't update all the graphics.
Yeah.
But when you go to the new zones, it'll be like especially if you're running an Ultramax, like you'll be like, this is where the current technology is. That's what it is. Yeah. So like that's why when they did Cataclysm, they redid all the old zones because they made them look better.
Yeah, I mean,
because if you're running at 60 FPS, like the game should look really good. If it's looking bad, like your graphic settings probably need to be juiced up.
I think it might need to be
because it defaults to like a very low setting.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed by that.
Yeah, because if you haven't been dicking with it, it'll be because WoW is made to run on fucking shoeboxes. So like. Yeah. You need to like set the graphics up yourself.
I still enjoy playing it. It's still fun. I like it.
I liked the Lord of the Rings one, but I just don't have the time to dedicate to an MMO that isn't Elder Scrolls Online.
Yes, I know you love your Elder Scrolls Online.
I really Elder Scrolls Online. Like I said, it's got a fantastic like it's a game by itself. You don't need to like there's no grouping actually necessary until the very end if you want to do it. But it's a great single player MMO, and it's been my favorite pick up and put down game because I found with WoW when I was playing. You needed to remember your rotations so much, like, and you had so many different abilities.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like you'd forget, and I'd go on and be like, "Fuck, what's that do?" And I'd have to like retrain myself a little bit in how to fight because there's so like you need to hit this this thing. You need to wait for this to proc. You need to use this, that, so on. Like Elder Scrolls is you have five abilities, and then you can set the bar where you push a button and another five abilities come up. And that's it. And a lot of the abilities you have slotted are passive. So there's one that's like, it's a mage spell, and it's like, it can reveal hidden enemies. So if there's invisible enemies, you can cast it to reveal hidden enemies. So it's like, why would you ever have that slotted? Well, if you have it slotted, it gives you a, 4% magic bonus always. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have five actual abilities because that one you're not constantly using that spell.
Yeah, I know. I'm a bad person.
Well, it's not, I mean, as long as you say it's not the fucking Star Wars game. Have you seen anyone playing the Star Wars game?
No, what is it?
Oh my god! It's the old one. It's the BioWare MMO Star Wars.
Legends of the Old Republic.
Knights of the Republic. Yeah.
Knights of the Republic. Yeah.
So I obviously have not followed that game because fuck Star Wars. But moons ago, when that game came out, I was watching my friend who was at max level play, and his screen had so many goddamn hot buttons on it.
Oh.
It was like 50 fucking buttons, and I'm almost like, dude, do you really need all those? And he's like, yep.
I remember
like,
when
Jesus.
When I don't remember if it was Knights of the Republic or it was like an older Star Wars. I think it was just Star Wars Online. It was like the first one that they did.
Yes, there were two Star Wars.
This was back in like I think it was like 2003.
Okay, that's the Star Wars Online.
Yeah, yeah. Star Wars Online. I remember because that game,
which was good, and then they ruined it when they put Jedi into it.
Yeah, but it was. I remember that you could have pets in that game. And so my buddy had three AT-ST pets, and so they would have these three AT-STs follow him around through everywhere, and they would just, like, blow everything up.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, let's get into some gaming news since we're already a half hour into the podcast.
Do we have gaming news?
We have some. The big Kickstarter announcement that's coming out, and I think you'd be a fan of this. Evil Dead 2, the board game.
Oh, yes, yes, I saw that out. With the tagline is, we'll take your money now.
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
I think it'd be fun, be a good self-aware game. It kind of looks like a card game more than a board game, but they have it's not coming out for another 2 weeks. Like, the Kickstarter's not going live for another 2 weeks, so we can't really tell. But I'm hoping that it's relatively self-aware. It'd be a good Halloween game. That's what I'm thinking. Because last year on Halloween, I ran the Fantasy Flight Zombies game for my friends, and that went off really well. So actually, I went and I was looking for good like one-off Halloween games to do for this year, and I actually found that Call of Cthulhu for like a couple years back, did like one-off Halloween games. And I think I found three of them, and I'm like, maybe I'll run one of those.
You should buck convention and run a Krampus event. Krampus! For Christmas. Run a horror-themed campaign for Christmas. But make it Christmas.
I think what would be good, like a way to run a current Krampus game would be, it would be a runaway game, where it's like you constantly have to keep moving so that the Krampus doesn't catch up with you. Like, that's the type of game it would have to be. Like, you go from point A to point B, and point B you have to do a couple different things to get to point C. But if you wait,
there's our Kickstarter board game, Krampus.
I would do it. I would totally write that up.
There we go. And we'll have tiles, and you have to...
I don't know about tiles. Like,
Go for it. The tile is you put a tile down, and it's an escape room.
Okay.
You have to exit the tile. Then you remove the tile and put another tile down. So rather than doing like a dungeon building tile game, you have a challenge, like you have a room, you have to escape it, put it down again, you have a room, you have to escape it.
Mm.
Or like a dungeon-y thing.
I think that would lead, maybe a dungeon, maybe, I think
that. I don't want to do the building, the tile building
thing.
No,
not that at all.
No.
But what I'm thinking is more just a straight up RPG.
And well, yeah, but that's not a board game.
As a Kickstarter board game, yes, that works. That works great. I think that what you'd have to do is each room, you'd have to like... Is the D? There would be a DM, kind of like a that would
the Krampus.
It wouldn't be the Krampus, but because the Krampus would be like an NPC.
But I want to control the Krampus.
Well, you would control the Krampus.
All right, good.
But what it would be is that you know you have certain number of turns to exit the room before the Krampus comes into the room, and then while you're getting ready to leave the room, and if the Krampus shows up in that room, you have to find a way to stall the Krampus. You can never defeat the Krampus.
Yes.
Just like the Grimace. You can never defeat the Grimace.
Nothing can defeat the Grimace.
Nothing can defeat the Grimace. But no, you'd have to, the Krampus would come to the room, and like, let's say you're doing a party of four, like, some members of the party would have to stall the Krampus, do certain things. You know, there's certain things that you could do to stall the Krampus, and as the other person is trying to find a way out of the room. Something like that. I think that would work. I think it could work.
Yes.
You know what would be great, too, is that you could do that as in... you'd have, like... Okay, so let's say you put down the room,
mm-hmm.
and then that leads to another room. You know, you have, like, a... it could be small, too. It could be, like, really small cards.
They're just tiny little things that are, like, a little puzzle to escape from.
Yeah.
While, like... And they're... I would have, like, different setups, like... So there'd be the GM reference, because he's the one who's setting up the board and then putting down what enemies are on the board where they're supposed to be. And then the players spawn like in the room, and it's like, this is how you escape.
Yeah,
you could have a stack of it like...
Ooh, or how about this? How about you have two stacks? You have house cards, and then you have street cards.
Ooh, there you go. So when you get out of the house go to the street.
You flip a street card, and then you get to choose either to continue down on the street or go into another house.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, and the whole thing is it has to last... Let's say 24 turns, because it's each turn represents an hour in the day.
Okay, I like it.
So you have to like, and you can only spend upwards of like 3 to 4 hours in a specific room.
You have to survive Christmas.
Yeah, you have to survive Christmas. Oh my God, this works, Steve. Let's do this. Let's
taking Christmas. I also want to put some Nightmare Before Christmas expansion pack.
Oh yeah,
Jack Skellington versus Krampus.
I always like the in the movie Krampus. I like the song at the end, which was ding dong, Krampus.
Yes.
Hark, hear the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say Krampus. All right, so yeah, we got the Evil Dead board game coming out. It'll probably be fun. I bet you it's fairly self-aware. I would love it if Raimi or someone like that had input into it. Just to make it a little more fun, but I doubt Sam Raimi's the board game type guy. Sam Raimi doesn't seem like... He seems more like an RPG player more than like some guy who would sit there and play Dungeons & Dragons.
Sam Raimi seems like a guy who sits at home and gets baked all day.
Did you ever watch Ash vs.
Smoke weed every day.
Did you watch Ash vs. the Evil Dead?
I have it on my list to purchase. I'm going to be getting it. It hurts really good.
The first episode is fantastic. They could never achieve what they achieved in that first episode. The rest of the episodes are pretty good.
Sure.
But that first episode is just so unbelievably good. It's like, well, what's the point?
Fair.
I've
actually been watching Powers.
Really?
Off and on. It's not good.
No, I like the comic.
It's not good, but I'm watching it. I don't know. It's like, it's free on PlayStation.
And it's got Eddie Izzard.
I like Eddie Izzard. It's like... I think I like watching it simply because, like, it's such... I wouldn't be so bold as to call it a train wreck, but it's so it's so obviously a good concept and so poorly executed. It's kind of like you have to see it to believe. It's like, how did you guys fuck this up? Like, how are you making this unentertaining?
Well, let me tell you this. Powers has been in production for a long ass time, and they actually filmed two separate pilots before the series for the PlayStation Network even went through.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one was for TNT, and that was actually filmed in downtown Chicago, which is the only reason I know about this. Mm-hmm. It's never worked.
I mean, and the acting is good. Like, yeah. All of the actors are good.
And
like,
it's such an easy fucking concept that it's so unbelievable that they messed it up.
I don't know. It's like, how is this boring? Like, yeah. how is what I am watching boring? Is like mostly my thought. It's like, I mean, I'm not like, oh man, I'm watching it, smashing it. But like, it's like I was like half asleep and I was going through the PlayStation Store and I was like, oh, they put Power Season 2 up. I guess I could watch that. It's also short, so there's that. But it's like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, they're trying.
Yeah, you know, I'll give them. I'll put a feather in their cap for trying.
Yeah. All right, so other big news. Fantasy Flight is doing the fifth book in their End of the World series.
This is Terminator, right? You don't know duty. You don't know honor. All you've got is a robotic boner for John Connor.
What?
That's from RoboCop versus the Terminator rap battle.
Ugh, rap battle is awful.
I love rap battles.
I think rap battles the worst thing that ever happened to the internet.
The George R. Martin versus J.R.R. Tolkien is amazing.
Ugh,
it's so good.
So terrible.
You just don't got taste for the streets, my friend.
I don't. Well, yeah, that's true.
It's because you are a racist.
I am an incredible racist who was listening to Mobb Deep as I was driving here
today.
I
don't even know what that is.
Exactly.
But you're still racist.
I'm still racist. Says the guy who knows nothing about rap to
about
the guy
Mobb
who,
Deep?
Who got the guy who knows a little bit about rap.
I mean, I watched Straight Outta Compton. Thank you.
All of my characters in my new WoW build are all named after members of the Wu-Tang Clan, by the way. Yeah. I already have Ghostface, Killa, and Capadonna, and the RZA, or Da RZA, because I couldn't put the RZA.
So racist.
Yes, I know. But why not? I'm going to do the entire Wu-Tang Clan. That's my goal in WoW.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you quantified that, because you just said you want to do the entire Wu-Tang Clan.
Well, I do want to do the entire Wu-Tang Clan.
I was like, I don't know if they're going to be up for that.
I mean, the RZA, he did some quality soundtracks.
They sold that album to the Martin Schekel guy for a bunch of money. And Bill Murray apparently can steal it back.
Yes, that's in the contract that Bill Murray can steal it back.
Actually, I do know a decent amount about early 90s rap, but that's it. And late 80s rap.
Yeah, but the thing is that's not even a Wu-Tang Clan album. It's kind of a Wu-Tang Clan album. It's like a guy who worked with the Wu-Tang Clan, used a bunch of their stuff, and had them on there, and then they called it a Wu-Tang album, and that's how he was able to sell it, but it's apparently not very good. Which, more power to them for selling that asshole a shitty album for $1 million, or however much it was.
Two, I believe.
2 million, yeah. So yeah, they're doing Rise of the Machines, or Machine Apocalypse, or whatever it's called. So this is, they did Zombie Apocalypse, which was their first one, then they did Aliens, Return of the Gods, I think there was like a natural disaster one, and now maybe, this is their Rise of the Machine. So I'm assuming they're gonna do a Terminator style.
I mean, the robot on the cover looks like a Terminator.
Yeah, so I think they're probably going to do like a Rise of the Machines.
As long as you have a sweet ass fucking synth soundtrack while you're gaming,
you could put on some Tangerine Dream and be cool with it.
I mean, yeah, or you could use what's their name? Fuck. Not 1983.
The guys who did the Drive soundtrack.
That's Kavinsky.
Kavinsky. Yeah, you can put Kavinsky on. That
Kavinsky
work.
Works. Yeah, there's actually a huge thing of like synthwave these days.
Yeah, I prefer Simpsons Wave. If you haven't heard it yet, it's fantastic.
Is it like Simpsons shitposting?
No, but Simpsons shitposting is funny as well. wait, let me see if I could find.
Is it just synthwave with like Simpsons clips in it or something?
Kind of.
That's really funny.
It was really good. I was like surprised.
All right, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. What's their name? I'm trying to remember. There's a couple of them I listen to. Time Cop 1983 is one of them, but he's not RoboCop style or Terminator style. Is this Simpsons Wave?
Yeah. I wonder if they go. Let me see. I don't really know this one too much.
Hmm.
Usually there's like Simpsons quotes throughout the entire thing. But
I see. You have, yeah. Of course, the one you picked for the example.
Yeah,
didn't
it doesn't
work.
Have that in there. Exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just put on something like, and then call it a day. All right, are you still working on that?
I don't know. It's good. I actually dig it.
Fair enough.
Synth music is like one of those things that it's like I'd prefer if I was really stoned throughout the entire thing.
Well, the synth wave is more like the stuff I listen to is more like 80s style, like
yeah.
Kavinsky, like the.
And I hate fucking Kavinsky.
I love Kavinsky. He's so good.
Something that like I also don't like Drive. People love Drive. I hate Drive.
I also think that movie's really good.
Mm. It is awful. That movie's just
the pacing of the movie is like slow, and then like it gets fast and doesn't stop, which is nice. That was the because usually a lot of the problems I have with most slow burn movies is they go like they're when they it's supposed to be a roller coaster, so it's supposed to bring you up to the top, and when it goes down like into you're like whoa, and like it doesn't stop until the ending, and that movie does that. And there's a lot of slow burn movies where it's like. It starts to, like, go over, and then it, like, stops again. And, like, it tries to rebuild tension after basically going over, cresting the hill. Doesn't work out.
I will agree and disagree with that. I hate the main character. I thought the problem with the main character is...
Because he's Ryan Gosling, and his attractiveness makes you uncomfortable about
yourself. No, because I like Ryan Gosling, and a lot of the stuff he does.
Everyone likes Ryan Gosling, of course.
But, I mean, it's like, I don't know how to say this without sounding offensive, but I mean,
he's not offensive.
I know, I am. I'm just going to.
I mean,
but he's like
fair.
Such
you're an offensive person.
It's such an internet boy thing, that movie, where it's just like, I'm just the driver. You know, it's like, I can't be with you because I'm just the driver. You know, it's like,
he wants to bang that girl immediately.
It's this like the stupid, like macho type of like, I'm a loner, daddy. Like that's what it is. I just think it's not very. He's not a likable character, and I don't think that even in. He's not one of those unlikable characters that you like because he's unlikable. And the only thing that was really good in that movie was Albert Brooks, and he should have gotten nominated for an Oscar that year. But
yeah, he was really good in that movie.
Yeah. But anyway, what were we coming back to? Oh yeah, the synth heavy for the Terminator one. So I'm gonna assume that they're gonna do a. There's probably gonna be a Grey Goo scenario, like. The Grey Goo is loose.
You can't. The Grey Goo's not a scenario, though. It's just it happens, it rapidly spreads, and everyone dies. There's no way to escape it.
There's got to be a scenario like that. I'm sure there's going to be
Maybe something like it, but it can't be the actual Grey Goo, because actual Grey Goo, like, you can't hide, because what you're hiding in also gets Grey Goo'd.
Yeah. But the, I'm assuming that there's going to be a Terminator 1, like, because they always do the pre- and post-apocalypse, so they'll probably end up doing, like... You know, the Terminator comes back in time to start the apocalypse, or AI becomes self-aware, and you're like, it's Judgment Day, and then they're going to have, like, post-Judgment Day, where you're hiding from the machine, the Resistance, and then they're probably going to end up doing there's probably going to be, like, a Blade Runner style scenario with, like, replicants and things like that. I mean, it'll be fun, I think.
Why do you cry?
Like tears in the rain. What does he say? Oh, God, I used to know the monologue fucking heart.
I don't really like Blade Runner.
You don't like Blade Runner? Oh, we've gone over this.
Yeah,
you don't
like
Blade Runner.
It's super slow and boring. It's like,
yeah.
It wants me to go to sleep.
But I'm probably going to pick it up because I like I love the what's it called? I love the zombie one. I really want to get the alien one. The Return of the Gods and the Mother Nature one I thought were boring.
Return of the King.
Because I was just like...
Well, the Mother Nature one, you can finally be Mark Wahlberg. No! Oh, no, ma'am, no!
I think the trees are trying to kill us. There's something going on. I'm a biologist.
No, ma'am, no!
That movie was so unbelievably bad.
Yes, that
like,
is...
Even by, like, I give a lot of M. Night Shyamalan movies the pass. I gave... Unbreakable was great.
Unbreakable and Sixth Sense are good movies. The most recent one, The Visit, also a good movie.
That one was decent. I actually kind of enjoyed that
the
one.
The rest of them are all bad.
I didn't didn't mind The Village. I thought The Village was okay.
Oh, I hated The
and
Village.
And I didn't mind The Sixth Sense.
That's funny.
Not The Sixth Sense. Signs. I didn't mind Signs. The Signs fell apart at the end, of course. But I think a lot of the stuff that they did at the beginning was really
Signs
well.
Signs has, I probably mentioned it before, because I mentioned it almost every time Signs is brought up, but Signs has my favorite line in cinema, which is when...
Swing
Mel Gibson.
Away,
no, oh, Mel man, Gibson no. is running around the house, and oh, he's yeah. like, "I am insane with anger." He's just like saying, he's just talking. That cracked me up.
The thing that
once yeah, it, that movie's bad.
The thing that bothered me most about Signs is when M. Night Shyamalan shows up in the movie and says, "I think we should head to water." It's like, why is the director showing up and telling you what to do? See, Lady in the Water was terrible, and
that movie's really bad.
You know what I should...
I mean, you just said you didn't like Drive, and you said you liked Signs and the other one, so...
But they were fun, and they were stupid. Drive took itself way too seriously.
You've now put yourself into a...
No. You
camp,
can't...
And then there's
you
another
can't,
movie
you can't... That's bad. That's a bad way of proving a point in any movie, is to make comparisons of what a person likes and what a person doesn't like. That's,
I mean, that's...
No, that's not...
That's
not,
how critics work.
That's not how critics work.
It's exactly how critics
work. No. Critics
they
are...
They have their
no,
own... Because it's
no,
all subjective.
No.
It's all subjective. It's,
no, critics work based on movie to movie
on their
to
subjective
movie.
Choice of movie.
Yeah. So you can't...
But
you
taste.
Can't say that, like, because Roger Ebert loved... Or because Siskel loved Babe and the Pig in the City, that makes his feelings on... I don't know. Superman
no.
Returns any worse.
It doesn't invalidate their feelings, but it gives you their taste. And, like, that puts them in, like, so example, if there's a dude who only likes pretentious art house movies, not because they're pretentious art house movies, but that's just because that's what he likes. You need to know what, that's why I hate critics. I think it's pointless, because everyone has their own subjective taste in their own, the movies they like. So if you like shitty B action movies and you say, like, dude, American Ninja Warrior 2 is one of the best movies ever
yeah.
made.
But I would never say that Signs is a better movie than Drive. Drive is obviously a better movie.
They're totally different
but
movies.
I just don't like Drive.
I also wouldn't compare them because they're totally different films.
Yeah, but that's
not
what I'm saying. It's like, but I can make that decision based on a filmmaking standpoint that Drive is a very good movie. It's a very well-directed movie. I don't like the characterization. I don't like a lot of the writing and the pacing, and I don't like the soundtrack at all.
I found it. It's Perturbator, Perturbator.
Okay.
That's the fucking music I was trying. I was buying time just so I could
find the Perturbator.
Yes, that's the specific artist I was talking to. They're very much like Terminator style, like synth, like dark. That like you know the.
So beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, like that, like
so I could use it for like my Shadowrun games.
Yes, absolutely. It would be perfect for your Shadowrun games
when we're hacking the system.
Yes,
when we're hacking the world.
It would be very if you're doing like an 80s nostalgia driven Shadowrun game. It would be perfect for it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would do with the Terminator if I
Perturbator.
If I ran the machine takeover scenarios from that supplement, I would. Totally set it in the 80s.
High tops.
Oh yeah, it would be like totally 80s, because that way it's easier to do stuff like hacking, because it's the 80s. So you know, it's
you'd phone freak in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. You could do a lot of crazy stuff that's like now that we know computers wouldn't work, but in the 80s cinema universe, it's very easy to hack stuff as long as you know the back door or whatever. You know?
I have the access codes.
I have the access codes. I'm gonna blow this whistle really quick. Hold on. All right. Sorry about that. That was a pee break on my end. Yeah. So you could do stuff like blow a whistle into a phone and you know like hack it that way, which was actually a legit thing. But
you just grab you pick up the receiver and you just click it a bunch of times.
Yeah. Exactly. Like. And you get that whatever.
Kids these days have never even seen a phone like that.
No. And that would be fun to play with a bunch of older guys who at least somewhat remember the 80s and remember like the way that computers were
have
treated
that, like,
in the 80s.
Have that vague memory of the 80s.
Yeah.
Where computers were just a DOS prompt and you just had to type everything.
Oh, so good.
I actually remember using DOS. So,
well, yeah, I do too.
I love DOS.
The only thing I remember about DOS was like insert the big 3x5, what is it, 5-inch floppies, and then you type in like run
boot disk A, and
yeah,
it's like
boot
goes,
disk,
goes
yeah.
to A, and it's like load doom.exe.
Yes,
yes.
It was mine was even earlier. Mine was like load math sub, and then it was like the math submarine
Zork,
game.
Load Zork.
Yeah, load Zork. Exactly.
Any of those old text-based games?
I never played a ton of those text-based games.
I liked drawing the map when I like that was my favorite thing to do in games. That's one of the things I liked about Dark Souls is it doesn't give you a map. So like I actually drew. It brought me back to that like. oh yeah, I gotta go. It's like, oh, I get, oh, a shortcut. And like drawing the map back in the day was like the one of the most fun things about, and that's what got me into like dungeoneering stuff for like D&D. Like, so I love drawing maps.
We talked about that. I love Eye to Beholder, which was my favorite game of all time.
And that wants you to draw maps. And so does Legend of Grimrock.
Well, I didn't draw the maps with Legend of Grimrock.
But it has the mode. You can turn the map, the auto map off, so you can draw it yourself with grid paper.
I preferred just the build your own map. Like when you went through it, I was like, this just, I would do this anyway. So this is just taking a lot of the,
right. It's lifting the work off of you, which is what auto mapping
exactly.
is for. But it's still, you know, that conceptually is fun. I mean, I don't have the time to blow on a game where I need to build them, you know, do that anymore. Not the size of a game like Grimrock.
What I need to do is I need to build a gaming computer, but I need to make it so that
you just play old games that are totally outclassed by the computer.
I need to find a way of playing a game where it's like I don't have access to the internet while playing, because I've grown too much that guy that's like, I can't get through this fucking thing. Oh, that's how you do it. Okay, and then I go back to do that. Like, I've grown too much to be that guy.
Yeah, there's really, the only thing you could do is just not do that.
Well, I know, but it's really hard. Like, if I had a gaming rig that wouldn't allow me to do that, that would be much easier. Like, it would slap me on the hand and just be like, no, do not do that.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. That would be, yeah, no, I can't think of anything that could help you out with that.
No.
Other than just not doing it.
Yeah.
I remember
doing that, like, when I was playing WoW back in the day, and I find myself doing that again, I would be like, wait, where do I have to go for this? Oh, okay.
Well, now it shouldn't matter, because you should be able to just, like, click the fucking buttons, and it'll show you where to go.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, it would be, like, stuff like, where's this guy at? Like, I can't find him somewhere. This is stupid. I get mad at it. But anyway, the only last gaming thing that I have that I thought was worth talking about is Games Workshop's putting out another mini game. Mini miniatures game. They're doing Lost Patrol.
Oh, the one with the scouts and the Tyranids.
Yeah. So,
it's got scouts and Tyranids.
I think those are the same old sculpts, too. Like, they're just the repackaged. They're
plastic.
So, when that guy yelled at us and saying, like, Games Workshop, just take it a sprue, cut it up, and throw it in a box. They don't do that. Yeah. Yeah, they do.
That's exactly what they do.
That's the only reason I wanted to bring it up, was to shove it in that guy's face. So, well, this is going to be your in-depth review of Lost Patrol.
it's a tile-based game meant to get you into fucking 40K. Like,
yeah.
That's what they're there for.
But Lost Patrol is actually based off, once again, it's based off an old game.
Yeah, they're...
Remember those old scouts that would have, like, they had the hero pose with the arms
they
sticking out?
They all had the hero pose.
Oh, yeah, and they had mohawks.
Yes, I remember those.
Because for some odd reason, the people in Britain everyone had a mohawk back in the day.
They had the 2000 AD style. Like, Workshop used to be 2000 AD style, you know, like, everybody had
They had fucking jet bikes, Judge Dredd.
Mohawks, knee pads, like, that was, you know, they had that look. That was the 40K look. Like, Necromunda. Like, Necromunda is Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Like, there's even the guys who look like
Arbites,
judges.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had that look going for them, and now they're in, like, a different realm with, like, well, 40K is, like, gelled into its own thing, but, like, the Sigmar, someone pointed out, I think it was Angel, but they pointed out that, have like, the Sigmarines and stuff, they look very heavy metal, and I was like, you know what they do? They, like...
You think they look like heavy metal?
I think they do. Like, the reminiscence of, like, I was like, okay, yeah, because they kind of look like if you had, like... Boris Vallejo or Frank Frazetta drawing like a sword and sorcery dude in that, like, concept of the Warhammer world that what it is now. I could see it. I could see those dudes on, like, the cover of heavy metal and being like a short comic.
I could see that. I don't think it necessarily looks like that. Someone just took over heavy metal. So, like, someone famous just took over heavy metal.
Oh, the magazine?
Yeah.
That magazine still exists?
Yeah, I think they redid it. Who was it? Was it the guy who did Animal Man? Ah, God. I can't think of it. I think it's Grant Morrison. I think Grant Morrison took over heavy metal.
Really?
Yeah. Which should be good. I mean, I would be a big supporter of
that. I mean, that seems good.
I love that fucking movie. I loved that movie when I was a kid.
But what about the second one?
I never watched it, actually.
I haven't watched it, but it's not an anthology movie. So once I heard that, I was like, oh, not interested. But
So,
I mean, maybe it's good. I don't know. I won't watch it because the reason heavy metal is good is because it's an anthology movie that has that one connecting factor of the weird
orb thing.
But so other than that, I'm not interested. I think, what is it? The Tales from the Dark Side. Like, if you did a Tales from the Dark Side movie and just made it, like, another one, and you just made it one story, it'd be like, the fuck? Like, what the hell? Is this supposed to be three or four stories? I love Tales from the Dark Side.
Love Tales from the Dark Side. Tales from the Dark Side, not as good as the Twilight Zone movie, but still.
Oh, the Twilight Zone movie is fantastic. That's a great movie.
Yeah. Just the Terra 20,000.
There's something on the wing!
You're John Lithgow.
I've got the guns, John! Yeah, I love John Lithgow.
It's worth watching it just for that sequence. Yeah.
And then, of course, that leads to the greatest joke in the entirety of Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, when Shatner meets it. I saw something on the wing of the plane.
Me too! Yeah, that was fucking great.
So we already have a bunch of comments on our video. Matt Hurd says, weeaboo? More like we don't.
Nice.
James Brandt just said, fuck, get your clothes off already. And Matt Lee says, just a bunch of hunks. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, we are a bunch of hunks.
We totally are. And Angel Baker says, no, I missed it while at work. It doesn't really matter. You can still watch it. It's not like it matters that we were.
Well, they can talk to us while we're doing it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the
I didn't know they could do that. Yeah,
the chat thing goes live. So, like, you can, like, if they type in it while you're recording, you can see it and, like, talk back.
You know, maybe next time. So next episode. Maybe we could do this and we'll do, like, live question answering.
Oh, a live Q&A?
Yeah, live Q&A. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, we'll have to just announce. We give them a heads up when we're going to do it. So that
for
way.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a grab a question, like a mailbag, and then we'll also open it up to live questions while we go. Maybe we'll answer the live question. We'll answer the grab bag questions live on there. We'll figure something out, but we'll do something fun like that. I when I saw this that Facebook started doing this, I was like, ooh, I could use this for the podcast.
I have
that would suck up some time.
I was gonna save it, but I have a big reveal for you.
Oh, what's the big reveal?
All right, just hold on a second.
Okay, because we're getting close to the end anyway. If this is
just for you.
Steve's playing Sigmar. He's playing Nurgle. He's playing the Nurgles.
Yeah, like I said, they put points costs in, so I'm gonna give it a go.
But we haven't even seen the point costs yet.
You are correct, which is why all I have is one small little box.
That's fine.
One small collecting box, because if for some reason the points shit the bed super hard,
you could just get rid of
just
it.
Sell it.
Yeah, and demons are pretty sellable.
Yep,
they're not great, but they're still sellable.
Yep. Yeah. So,
Steve. I'm almost as disappointed in you as you are with me for playing WoW.
Well, here's the thing. We've talked about it a lot of times.
Yes.
But I play a bunch of minis games, or quote-unquote play a bunch of minis games. Nobody plays the miniatures games that I own. So I figured, you know what? I'm actually going to play one that people play.
Okay.
That there are actually people playing.
You can play Bolt Action with me.
No. that's awful. If I wanted to play a game that one other person I know plays, I already do that. I've got Wrath of Kings.
Yes.
So joining another game that doesn't have a like reasonably sized community seems like a waste of time.
Yes.
So I don't want to play 40K because fuck that.
You don't have that much money
Or time, like, because you need to and you need to just like buy the new figures repeatedly, and you need like seven of them.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, $100 thing came out. Well, gotta get seven. So I don't want to do that. And the only thing I could think of was Sigmar. And I was like, yeah, well, I didn't want to play it because it didn't have a game. And here's the reason why. Like, I said before, minus the ridiculous fucking mustache rules, which are absolutely unconscionable, the fact of the matter was there's no fucking points, so you can't play the fucking game. Because even if you went to the tournaments, because there's like six fan-made points costs rule sets, quote-unquote, but it doesn't matter, because if I go to your tournament and you're using rule set A, and I build an army for rule set A, the next tournament I go to, oh, that's rule set B.
Yeah.
So it's like I can't build an army for it. Now that there's going to be a standardized points cost, I can actually go and play fucking games. Like, I can actually hey, they're running a tournament. Because right now, there's an Age of Sigmar tournament going on right now.
I understand your reasoning. I'm just still disappointed.
I mean, that's fine. Nothing can be as disappointed. Like, if I played Bolt Action, I would be more disappointed in myself. Like, the only thing that could have made me more disappointed in myself is if I, like, played Bolt Action. That's, like, lowest thing I could go.
Oh, my God. They just did, like, a little teaser for the new edition, and they mentioned something about...
Are there tears?
Oh, they mentioned something about templates, and, like, I immediately saw three people go, fuck templates! Oh, my God! They're ruining the game!
That's awesome.
I'm like, don't be dumb. Come on.
That's awesome.
It's a, we're pushing around little World War II guys. It's like, what are you doing? What are you getting upset about?
I like that.
I think it's hysterical.
Anything that, that upsets bold action players is fine by me.
Oh, okay. One of the sites I go to had this thing about the idea of metagaming, and they brought their example was Flames of War, and like their concept of what metagaming
is not metagaming.
Is not metagaming.
Great.
Because it's like metagaming is like you find a loophole, you find something that's exploitable. Like when a whole group of people find something that's exploitable and they all play it, that's what metagaming
is. Yeah, that's the metagame. Like that, everyone is going to be using rocket launchers because they're OP. So you need to make sure that your list is good against rocket launchers.
So that's
That's the metagame. Rocket launcher meta.
Well, what it is initially is like oh, everyone's playing a rocket launcher, so I have to have an army that can both be offensively and defensively good against a rocket launcher army. And then once that happens, then someone finds the exploitable loophole of, okay, I could do this, but this on the offensive hand becomes much better, 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 better. And then people stop taking rocket launchers because now they have to defend against this.
Flamethrowers.
Yeah, flamethrowers. And then that shifts the meta. And usually what happens is like, the game company gets all swingy and panicky because they find the rule sets exploitable, so they... you know, make something completely, they make rocket launchers terrible and they make something else really good because to fight against the rocket launchers. And now you got this going again and it keeps going like that back and forth.
As opposed to RPG metagaming, which is using your outside of the game personal knowledge to impact the game's, your character's knowledge.
Yeah.
So for example, your character has no idea what a mind flayer is. They shouldn't know that they're going to have psionic attacks. You're going to be like, they're going to attack us with psionics. Like your barbarian would never, ever know that.
Yeah. Your barbarian's dead.
Yeah, your barbarian has been slain. Why? He got hit by a rock of metagaming.
Yeah, by the rock of metagaming. Yeah. We should.
It's just a big rock that says meta on it. It crushes his skull.
Oh, we should patent that. We should just sell the rock of metagaming. We'll just sell big rocks that have meta. Yeah, just like crudely painted meta.
Yes,
that'll be our next Kickstarter after the Krampus game.
The Krampus.
All right. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
at Play on Steve.
You can like our Facebook page, /Game Classy Podcast, where maybe we'll put up a couple more videos here and there. Steve might do it on his own. He'll just... he'll do his late night chats where he's like, hey guys, Steve here.
Maybe I'll do some ASMR videos while I paint.
Yeah.
And just like set it up like while I'm painting and just be like, and now I'm going to be painting this.
Oh,
right?
I thought it was just going to be your heavy breathing while painting.
No. I'll describe it like, and then we're going to be doing a little bit of black highlight here.
Remember when I first discovered what ASMR videos were? That was like so
weird.
Dude,
they're old.
I know, but I just discovered it like not too long ago. I was like, what is this? This is a thing?
Yeah, it's a popular thing. There's a ASMR unboxing is a huge thing too. It's like I think that's the new future. If you want to pioneer a field of getting hot on YouTube by like hitting trends, you need to hit like the multiple trends. So ASMR videos, they're played, there's already established. Unboxing videos, they're played, they're already established.
What about
ASMR unboxing? See, you bring it together.
What about ASMR pantyhose removal videos?
Yeah.
I guarantee those.
Also, if you could figure out how to do ASMR hydraulic press
Ooh,
crushing.
Oh, yeah. That's a big thing right now.
That would be hard.
I love the hydraulic press channel. Yeah, that's something I'll watch regularly. Because it's only like 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, I kind of do want to see what happens when this gets crushed.
Yeah. We've got the. He's going to attack at any time.
Very dangerous.
We must deal with it.
And then the old lady laughing in the background every time.
And thank you, Scott Anderson, for Action Castle and Action Castle 2. I will treasure them always.
Yes.
I'll probably run them in there. It's pretty fun. I like it.
You could also listen to our sister podcast. You have Play On Podcast, a.k.a. Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about video games. What's the new hotness now? What are you guys talking about?
E3 is going to be the next cast.
Oh, the debacle that always is the E3.
Everyone's covering a chunk of E3. We actually used journalistic thingies, and we actually assigned people what thing they had to cover.
Talk about how the new Legend of Zelda has everybody wanking.
You know what? I was kind of surprised. Like, I know people like Zelda. I like Zelda, but holy shit, people lost their minds.
I didn't think it looked that good, but I'm not a huge Zelda fan, so I don't care.
Like, wow, people fucking went crazy over it. So we'll be talking about that.
Yes.
For sure.
I always love Pat with E3 because he gets so excited about it, but then he gets so disappointed with it every year.
We already had a really great moment where he was like, he started shit talking Final Fantasy 15 because like people are really excited about it, and he's like, this game looks so fucking bad, and I'm like, I'm trying to get more info. I'm like, give me more information. Like, why do you think this looks bad other than you not liking RPGs and only liking Call of Duties? And yeah. He said, like, the Microsoft presentation. I'm like, oh, okay. So I watched the Microsoft Final Fantasy 15 presentation. Holy shit. The guy playing it was, like, some product director.
Oh,
like,
so he had no idea what he was doing.
He was running in a circle getting punched. He was fighting this giant, colossal, like, titan. And he was just running, like, in a literal circle and being punched repeatedly.
That's what I always say about E3 is, why do people care about E3? It's a nightmare every year.
But the best part about it is that Pat then watched the Sony presentation. And they also had a Final Fantasy 15 segment, which was a night and day difference, where the Sony one made it look awesome.
Yeah.
So it's funny.
So you guys are going to be talking about E3. That's
yes,
nice.
E3. There'll be many things to be talking about. New games. I mean, E3 is cool. Like just to see the new games. Like that's
I mean, that's pretty much all. I don't know why they just don't get up there with a pre-taped thing of someone who's playing the game well.
Right. That's what I was like. Why? That's why that guy's going to get fucking fired.
Probably not.
I don't think that's his. Like he's a product manager. Like I don't know why the fuck he's playing. Like that's not his job. He's not a playtester.
I don't know.
Yeah, the thing that sucks about E3 though is there's a lot of games that end up getting announced at E3 and never come out.
Well, I mean, like I'm still waiting on No Man's Sky, but that's just me.
You could send the guy some death threats.
Always. I've been doing it since day one.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. They have nothing to do with the game. It's just me threatening him. It's like, you son of a bitch.
Very good.
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you in front of your mother.
Yeah, very good.
And also you can listen to Comic Book Logic, where myself and Kevin will watch comic book movies, and we review them. We talk about them, how they have to deal with the comic books, how they hold up as movies on themselves. We just did the 2005 trash fire known as the Fantastic Four, and
that's the old one.
Yeah, not the old one, not the Roger Corman one.
No,
but
you said trash fire, so I knew it wasn't the Roger Corman one.
No, the Roger Corman one's a trash fire, but it's a wonderful trash fire. It's a trash fire you don't mind warming yourself.
It's a glowing hobo trash fire.
Yeah, it's a glowing hobo trash fire. The Fantastic Four from 2005 is one of those stinky, smelly trash fires that's usually like a grade school dumpster that's filled with old milk.
Nice.
Yeah.
On an outer space adventure.
I sing that quite a bit in the review. It's an homage to you. And we're probably going to end up doing... We haven't really decided yet. Kevin kind of wants to do the Raimi Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
I want poems. Poems about Spider-Man.
Give me a haiku.
Have you seen how fucking jacked that guy is?
He's huge.
Why is he so big?
I don't know.
He's going to be Jacked Gordon, I guess.
Jacked Gordon. I like his giant beard, too. Yeah.
I think the rule for the DC movies is like everyone needs to be jacked.
Yeah.
Because did you see how big fucking Affleck was?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you have to be homo-jacked.
Yeah.
Like huge.
Yeah, that's it.
Like you have to just be pure muscle. It has to be so homoerotic. It has to, like, that's what you...
Hey, I'm all in.
I am, too. Too. I'm great with it. I'm like, I want everyone that
going
big.
To see the muscularity.
Yes.
When you see my posing routine, it's perfect.
Yes, we should get that on video too.
I fucking love Pumping Iron. It's on Netflix. Everyone should watch it. Everyone should watch Pumping Iron.
I don't like that he makes fun of Lou Ferrigno.
Well, yeah, it's because he's the best. Who's the best, Louis? You are Arnold.
Yes. But we haven't decided. We're either going to do the Raimi Spider-Man or V for Vendetta is on Netflix right now. I kind of want to do V for Vendetta.
If you do the Raimi Spider-Man, you have a lot more movies because you can go from the Raimi Spider-Man into
the
Andrew Garfield one.
Kevin was talking about doing the summer Spider-Man,
yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I don't know. We're going to be really burnt out on Spider-Man.
It's a pretty good idea. And plus, having all of the Spider-Man movies fresh while you're watching all of them probably would be ideal. Like being able to go from the first one, the 2000 one,
yeah,
all the way, because it was 2000, right?
2001.
Okay, yeah. Being able to do that one all the way to the recent Jamie Foxx one probably would be best.
That Amazing Spider-Man 2 was so bad. It was like awful bad. Like I liked the first Amazing Spider-Man. I was like, okay, this is an okay movie. It's not fantastic. I kind of like Andrew Garfield. But man, that second one was awful.
That's funny. That reminds me of my coworker. My coworker who's like, he's like so neutral about everything. Like, I can't
tell my wife. Hello.
Yeah, it's like I can't get like his opinions on every movie is kind of like, eh. he hates Kevin Smith, like with a fucking passion. He hates Kevin Smith. Like I don't think I've ever seen someone hate on some. Like I don't think I've ever seen someone hate on something as much as he hates Kevin Smith.
But for the most part, every time it's a movie, he's always like, yeah, it was okay. It's like the, like he's always the, and I'm like what about Spider-Man 3? And he's like, everything was fine except for the dance scene. And like, that's every movie is just like, he's so fucking middle of the ground. Like, he's never like, oh, that movie's fucking garbage. Like, or he's like, or he's like, oh, that movie was great. He's always like, it was a movie. I enjoyed it. And I was just like, don't you have an opinion? He's like, oh, that's my opinion. He is the most middle ground man ever. So he's the actual worst. Like, if he's seen a movie and I haven't seen it yet, his opinion is the worst thing for me to listen to, because he's always going to be like, yeah, it was fine. I'm like, stop. Get passionate about it.
How do you feel
about
Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Oh, he liked it.
Yeah, it was all right.
He gave it that review. He gave it that exact review. I said, the only thing I've seen him get super passionate about is hating Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm not a huge Spider-Man fan, so I don't know. But I'll go along. Like, me and Kevin will decide what we're going to do.
I really liked Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, I mean, the amazing...
Alfred Molina. That movie's good.
Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 are pretty good. They're long. They're unnecessarily long, but whatever. Anyway.
My favorite part of Spider-Man 3 was the dance scene, so...
So, Steve, until next time...
Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark.
All the dinosaurs are running wild.
That's it.
That
Game Classy.